Now, just briefly, we finished chapter 4. And chapter 4 deals with the subject of the... I'm sorry, Ruth, you've missed all this. You'll find it very difficult to understand what we're speaking about because it's all a continuation. We spoke about what is... how the nations of the world came into existence. Oh, are you the same person? No, you've improved a lot during the short time. That's not California. California has a deleterious effect on people. From my point of view. You must have been in the right environment. First environment. Yeah, I'm glad to see such a rapid improvement in first environment. All right. Now, ladies, we were dealing with the subject of how the Torah understands the relationship of the nations of the world to Torah and to us. And so what has come about is that at the time of the Great Divide, it was only Avraham Avinu who could reach to the stage, even according to the potential that we mentioned. We spoke about the two potentials. According to the potential that we mentioned, could possibly reach to the stage of Adam HaRishon before the city. And if not in one generation, perhaps in two or three generations. And when, whilst I'm on the subject, there's something I must explain to you. And that is, the way we understand Avraham Avinu is that Avraham Avinu was not only an end in himself, but he was also a means to an end. And the end to which he was the means was Yaakov Avinu. In many respects, Yaakov Avinu was greater than Adam HaRishon. Bearing in mind always that Yaakov Avinu could never have reached the height he reached had it been the preliminary of Avraham Avinu and of Yitzchak. Yaakov was the essence of Emes. He came Emes le Yaakov. Emes, which is truth and reality, without any falsehood or any illusion, right without any wrong, was realized to the greatest extent in Yaakov Avinu. We find also that Avraham gave birth to two sons, Ishmael and Yitzchak. Ishmael could not continue the tradition of Avraham. Yitzchak could. Yitzchak gave birth to two sons, to Esau and to Yaakov. Yaakov could continue the tradition of Yitzchak and of Avraham, but Esau could not do it. And we've got Yaakov, who is the one who is able to produce Shiftei Kof, the 12 Shvotim. He is able to produce them, and the 12 Shvotim become the foundation of the Jewish people. Though the other nations and the leaders of groups of other peoples at the time of the Great Divide couldn't reach anything to that standard, and so they remain on a considerably lower standard than the Am Yisrael. Now it is perfectly true that it's difficult to see, for us to see the difference between a Jew and a Goy, between a Jew and a Gentile at this particular stage. Although if we go deep into the matter, we are able to detect some very important differences. But it's difficult for us to see the difference. And one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to see the difference is because the Jew has inherited qualities from Yaakov Avinu. And these qualities remain, but because of misdirection, the Jew who has got these qualities exploits the recognizable by us, and certainly neither respected nor admired. And so we find that Jews do certain things. For example, the Goyim say about Jews that they are avaricious for money, that they love money, and they do anything for money. That's true. What they say is true, because a Jew has got tremendous ahavah. He's got an ahavah for the Torah. If the Jew wouldn't have an ahavah for the Torah, he would never be able to carry it all out. But look what he's got to go through for the Torah. He goes on a journey from here to New York, and he comes home, there's no kosher food. And he's hungry. He didn't have breakfast before he left. He realized that he'd have something to eat on the plane, nothing there for him. And he gets up from his seat and he walks down the plane, and then he walks up the plane. There's nobody there whom he knows, and nobody knows him. Maybe somebody in the first class. He makes an excuse to go through the first class, and nobody there. And now the air hostess comes up to him and says, "I'm sorry, you haven't got any kosher food, but I'll give you the other food. It's very good food we've got here. We've got a particular good food on the train this time." Nobody knows. He doesn't know anybody does. Nobody will ever find out. And he's really hungry. Not only is he hungry, he knows that he's got, he won't have anything to eat for another 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. No family. Doesn't matter. He's in love with Torah. Torah says, no, he won't do it. Look what he does with his children, sends them to yeshiva. They're not going to earn a living from going to yeshiva, they're not going to become wealthy. He loves Torah. And his children say to him that they love Torah. He's got a love for Torah. That love is so deep in him, it is love. And that love is used for his wife and for his family. And that wife is used, that love is used for his fellow Jews. They are Rahmonim, they are Gomle Chasronim. They have mercy. They help people. All that is there in him. And now he doesn't know what Torah is. Never had an opportunity. But he's got this love. It's got to burst out somewhere. He loves money. And he does for money what the true Jew does for Torah. He does for money. He sacrifices himself for money. He sacrifices his children for money. Of course it works out like that. The Jew has got Mesilut Nefesh. You know what Mesilut Nefesh is? He gives his life for the Torah. If the Jew wouldn't have Mesilut Nefesh, we wouldn't have any more Jews in the world. Look what the Goyim have done with us for the last 3,000 years. How they've tried to destroy us. And they've tried to destroy us in various ways. One of the ways in which they have managed to, try to destroy us, don't eat anymore. If you're not Jews, you've got everything. You've got the whole world that is open for you. Jews wouldn't do it. And what happened in the whole Holocaust is just a reflection of what's been happening for 3,000 years. Jews gave their life. And when they took Jews and they said, either you become Christians or we kill you, they said, then you kill us. They said, but you start with the children, and they start with the smallest child. And the parents go down on their knees to their child and say, don't you remain true to Hashem. You know what Shema Yisrael is. Say Shema Yisrael. And the child wouldn't allow it. Wouldn't take on another religion, they had to shut the Jews. They went right through the whole family like that. And the mother and father had to look at it through the other Inquisition. And then they killed the mother and the father. Gave their lives for it. That we call the Mesilut Nefesh. The Jews got the Mesilut Nefesh. So when communism started in Russia over 70 years, it really started long before. Socialist government used to kill those people who were communists. Jews were in the vanguard of the movement. And Jews saw only what was happening when the communist said, ask the person, are you a communist? And he said, no. And the Jewish people go, are you a communist? He said, yes, I am a communist. Put him against the wall, shoot. The one who said, no, I'm not a communist. He was a Goy. He was a Russian. The one who said, I'm a communist. Shut him. He was the Jew. The Jew gave his life for it. Believed in the idea. He's got the serious effort. Jews did it for the wrong purpose. Of course, he doesn't know what hell it is. He used it for that. Then we see, of course, they are these things in the Jewish community. So when the Goyim say, Jews are communists, they were. Jews are capitalists. They believe in capitalism. Give their life for it. They love money. All that is true. What isn't true is that isn't a true Jew. That's a different story. That's not a true Jew. And we've got such a thing as the authentic Jew. That's a different story altogether. If we get the authentic Jew, that's the city to town. And if you want to compare Jew and call your major consciousness to the Jew, you've got to get the authentic Jew, and then you make that distinction. So, when the great vice came, after the Dorach Dogel, and there was only Avraham, and then there were the other people and heads of groups. And the people and heads of groups, added up to 70 in number, and these 70 in number, they were the nations of the earth. 70 in Avraham was only one. So altogether, there were 70 with each Avraham of them. And Avraham of them was the father of the Jews. Question is, so what's the purpose of having the Goyim there? What are they? What are they going to do? So, there are three things that Hashem did with him. The first thing Hashem said is, if any Goy wants to become a Jew, he can become a Jew. And if he becomes a Jew, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. It's just like taking a branch and grafting it onto a tree. Taking a branch of a peach tree, and you've got a wonderful peach tree, and you're going to take this branch and branch it, put it onto that peach tree. This branch is all going to produce these peaches, and you will not be able to tell the difference, the peaches that this grafted branch has produced from the other. It's grafted on. And so the opportunity is given for a Goy to become a full-fledged Jew grafted on. Condition: he must be absolutely sincere. He's becoming a Jew or she's becoming a Jewish because of the emes. Only to the truth of it has he recognized it. That's the only reason. Because there's no reason for a Goy to become a Jew. If a Goy wants to have Olam HaBo, he can have Olam HaBo without becoming a Jew. In fact, he might have less chance if he becomes a Jew. He's got greater responsibility. That is the first opportunity, the first chesed that Hashem did to the Goy. The second chesed that Hashem did to the Goy was that the opportunity, opportunity that Hashem gave to the Goy was when the Torah was given. You remember, Hashem went to the nations and asked them, will you accept the Torah? And the nation said, what is written on it? And as I explained to you, that is the first disqualification. If I ask one of my children, will you do something for me? And my sons or my daughters say, well, tell me first, what is it you want? Then I say, it doesn't matter. I don't want you to do it for me. But I'm quite sure that they know that I wouldn't ask them to do anything that I don't think they are capable of doing. And I know that they will do to their whole heart, soul, and mind. Hashem was, when he came to ask the nation Israel, he first of all went to that place up here. And he said, will you accept the Torah? He said, what is it? He says, it's written to me that homosexuality is abomination. It's impossible. Can't accept that. They finished. Can't accept it. Then he went across to Stalin. And he said, what's it all about? What's it written? You mustn't murder. You mustn't murder. How do you expect me to run a country like Russia without murder? Said, I could never hold any power here. What do you expect me of? I've got to kill anybody who shows the slightest degree of dissenting. Anybody who doesn't agree. I've got to get him out of the way. Now, I can't accept the Torah. Then he goes to Saddam Hussein. He says, first of all, see, what's this mean? You mustn't steal. He says, oh, that's very good. Doesn't apply to me personally, of course, but all those. No, it applies to you personally. He says, does that mean to say that if I want to have Kuwait, I can't have it? You mean to tell me to steal it? Not for me. Can't accept that. Comes to the army soil, we accept the Torah. Of course, we will do the Torah. Now you can tell us what they will do. Whatever you say to do. Completely different attitude. But the opportunity was given once again to the Ummah to Olam, to the nations of the world, to come within the framework of the Torah. When that was disregarded, that was the end. A nation now cannot come into the framework of the Torah. It's only the Jew now. Individuals, yes, but not a nation. And that was particularly good 2 weeks ago when we asked, was it 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago? You weren't here last week. Last week. That was particularly good when I asked them, what made God offer it to them again? Why do they fail when the great divide to face, they fail? What? That answer is very well. Because so much has happened in the interim. The army's going to be taken out of Egypt, all the militaries, the crossing of the Red Sea. All that has taken place. Now, would you like to take the Torah now and be part of it all? What's this? Still not. That is the last opportunity. Now we reach the stage where an individual going can become a full-fledged Jew, but where a nation of going can become Jews, that's out of the question. That opportunity is no longer here. That is the second chesed of Hashem. Now the third chesed of Hashem comes along. The going. After all, the going is a human being. And since he's got humanity here, and in some respects, he's like the Jews, a human being. The only thing is the spiritual and moral level is considerably lower. Now, got to help the good. So what is that saying? The good is the end of the absolute right and give you the opportunity to make a human being. Now that can only be and so you've got the 7 weeks, and with the 7 weeks, you can maintain. So if you don't, you won't have your admission for long. It will go. And as I've told you several occasions, there's a tremendous amount of selling when the elder says that without children, you can't be a Jew, and without some children, the good can't be a Jew good. He will be
human.
California. What is humanism? That is a right. You only have I known of all the things from here.
Yeah. I'm Thank you. By the time I came to college, I was already integrated. So to be the best, that we came a young man from Paris. Then came a young man from Paris who was in his plane to take his plane to be a member. So he was a little sick for many. And he was horrified. But being that was in a city, so they said no. Eventually they allowed him to stay in the yeshiva until the end of that and became his throne, but not as a founder of the yeshiva. And they gave him a young man, he worked with him, and then he came. And that young man worked with him, but he wasn't considered to be a member of the yeshiva. Another school of thought says, no, you start from laws of civil law. Civil law. Five chapters you start from. It's just based on the use of civil law. All different types of civil law. That is more lishmo than to do for yesterday. So you've got to learn to know also. And when you learn it, because you've got to know how to do things, that's also learning Torah, and you've got to do that Lishmo. But it's any easier to learn civil law Lishmo than it is to learn Sabbath in that. You understand that? Now, I've just brought you, I've just begun to introduce you to what Lishmo is. In your session next week, I'll read to you what the Rambam is going to say about Lishmo. The Rambam wrote a commentary to the whole of the Mishnah. He wrote it in Arabic, and it's been translated into Hebrew. In fact, it's been translated into Hebrew two times. The most recent one, and perhaps even the best, was done in the last 50 years by a man called Kapach, who is still alive. He wrote also a commentary on the ethics of the fathers, because that comes into Mishnah. But he wrote an introduction to the commentary on the ethics of the fathers, which has become known as the eighth chapter, because he put it into eight chapters. So I've got to deal with one of those eight chapters, in which he describes what Mishnah is. Now, the Rambam was a great character. He didn't eat burger. This is his grave. And they've made a very nice place of it. I once had the opportunity of going to his grave and the train to go there. So much great. But this has been made for people who are not afraid. And they don't have to be afraid. We won't give them any hope. It's like my wife's kitchen knife. I can use it to sharpen a pencil, it won't do it any harm. You understand what I'm saying, you know? But I can't use a best knife. You must have trouble. Because that's good. It's such a beautiful fancy. But this is anyway, it's pretty nice to go over the top. Thank you, Mr. So, we'll have to do a little bit of the Rambam and see how the Rambam explains what this law is. So, difficult to get to it. But the redeeming feature about it is that there are degrees in Vishnu. So if it can't be 100% Vishnu, 90%, 80%, 70%, 60%, 50%. And I've been asked, if I believe that authentic Judaism is at Amrachon, why don't I get people to come there, people that belong to other congregations, and they know that I never do that. And my answer is, if I was certain I was doing it much more, I would do it. But I'm not certain that I'm doing it much more. And to bring something, somebody else into something, that I'm not certain it much more that I can do. A person comes over to me, I get too much out of it. Another member in the congregation, more Jews are being paid. So I regard it as immoral to do it. Can't tell you what I'm doing this man. He was the one who came with the greatest occasion. But no doubt, not certain that it is this man. For something to be this man, very, very difficult. But as I say, if it's 50% Vishnu, then a long, long way. Something much to be desired. Thank you, ladies. Mm-hmm. It correctly, which is the most difficult thing to do nowadays. And then there is a broker in it, there is a blessing in it. And the broker is only in that which is Tomu Ni Ho Ai. It is hidden from behind. If it's there enough, when you're dealing with the figures all the time, there will never be any problem. What is the reason for that? Any mate is always judged with sneezing. Whatever Hashem does to us and with us is always done with sneezing. It's him. May I let it in my shoulder care and walk with your God in a way in which you hide yourself. That is sneakers. And in everything we do, it's sneakers. And in our very lives, our faith, everything, there is this sneakers. Not counting. Count the people. That is considered. Don't give Hashem a chance to do a miracle. The miracle is that there are always so many. If you start counting them, how many there are, don't give the chance for the brother. That is considered something that is wrong. Is that all right? There are other reasons also, but we can't go into that tonight. I would still be at the same. So the plague is really for the people. And when, in, as we read in verse 16, by his life, Yodo Hamalak in the line, the Shabbatol, and this angel of destruction stretched his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, by Notam Hashem Eloro, Hashem repented of the evil, by Yodel Hamalak Hamashchis, and he said to the Malach of destruction, for only the people, Rav, it is enough. Ato Heres, now stay your hands. Ato Heres Lebech, now stay your hands. Jerusalem, to whom does Jerusalem belong? To which shape it?
Yehuda.
Yehuda doesn't come under this. Mm-hmm. Yehuda doesn't fall in the plague. They remain loyal to David all the time. Yehuda doesn't come into it. So that will give you some idea of this particular passage. We have by no means exhausted this, but at least it is intelligible. You've got about 2 minutes for questions. What about this funny business? Right?
Just a comment.
Thank you.
David made a wonderful choice saying, I'll leave it to Hashem. Hashem decimated the people, almost decimated the people of Israel in 3 days, instead of dragging it out over 7 years and having
yes.
A good tour for him, also because rather than saying, well, I'll take care of it, rather than a man take care of it, Hashem takes care of it.
That is that. Rather than it being as a ship. Don't be contingent anything from you. Any questions?
Would it have mattered if he had only counted insurance?
From what point of view? Why should he have only counted Israel?
I don't know, I just didn't
know if it was recognized. Hashem says, count the people. But Hashem says, Malay is Israel, and Israel can be taken as both. If Malay is Israel, count the people. Now, you should count them out of love. Perceive. So, he counts them. Which also shows that he hasn't forgiven them. Because he'd forgiven them, he wouldn't say, your dati is misfali, that I may know the misfali of Israel. If he had counted them only out of love, he didn't count them only out of love. Why not? He hadn't forgiven them. He should have already seen to it that this was rectified not only politically, but it should have been rectified spiritually also. People now, they acknowledge him, but it should have been further than that. So now the people know what it is all about, and atonement has been made. Yes,
well, when he had the incident with Shifra Ben Zikri, was he actually king with Shaul king at the time?
No. He was doing this.
He was king, yes.
Oh, yes, this was after the story of Absalom.
Oh.
And those that joined Absalom, there isn't that anger of Hashem. Because Absalom had some claim.
Mm-hmm.
He saw, Absalom saw that he wasn't going to be king and he was the eldest.
Mm-hmm.
So he had some claim. Hashem didn't have anything to do. They could get away with it. But those who followed Sheva Ben Bichri, at that stage, they had no right to do that.
That was a revolt.
But you can see what the damage that one person can do. One person. That is a cancerous self in society. Now, I managed to damage the one person to do. Yes?
I mean, was there any repercussion today for the partaking the flask and the spear?
As it was
with the
no. No.
Because it was king's possession.
Yes, but that's not part of him, you see. That's not part of him. Took his spear to his cross. Didn't deprive him of anything. The king still had water, the king still was to be given a spear, though that didn't be bad. No?
I wasn't
going to
the
fall
of the sheep, but during the Shiva Ben Bichri, is the town of Aga in Judah or in Israel?
In Israel.
Because I'm wondering why Noah basically spared the people they should have been looking at hiding.
Yes.
And he surrounds the town.
Yes.
And the wise woman yells out and says, you know, why did you go to her town? And he says, we just should have been looking. Would it, the implication of the wise woman is that the people weren't in fact all the hard things. But also in hindsight, I'm wondering, would it have been better for Yoav to have, for the army to have taken punishment then and killed more of the people rather than just shut it down to them? This might have averted the
Because that this woman like me, Yoav, you've got to decide the judgment. Is the death sentence applicable only to the rebel, to the one who's caused it all, or everyone who followed him is also guilty to the extent of the death sentence? Everyone is guilty. But is the death sentence to be carried out only on the instigator, or is it to be carried out on all the people who joined him? And Yoav said, maybe that. If I get that person, I'm satisfied.
But later on, isn't Hashem throwing out that death sentence on exactly those
people? Well, this is atonement for it, but it's 70,000 died at all. It's not 800,000, but no. There were 800,000 at least who followed that, not. But the instrument goes up. And the thing is, when if the vehicle goes up, then the first vehicle goes out. I don't want to come into a new subject now, but the way it works is those who die are those who deserve death for other reasons too. You see, there are several kinds of death sentences. There are those that are carried out by the death scene, and then there is Koreis and there is Nisa Bidei Shemayim. Nisa Bidei Shemayim is if a person steals from a poor person, Hashem carries out his death sentence, and it's only for that. But the person who steals from a very poor person has put himself under that death sentence from heaven. Comes a time like this, he must carry that. That is a personal death sentence. You follow? Mm-hmm. Is that very complicated?
No.
Doesn't it? Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
No, but I've got to attend to any matter.